Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Well, we had another retirement today, and that was Gary Kubiak, who gave a very heartfelt statement. There were no Latin phrases like Nung Chepi, like Philip Rivers threw in there. Now I begin. Awesome. Love that. Nothing like that from Gary. So my question to you is, do you believe, not that Gary really feels like he needs to retire, but at age 59, which is how old he is, do you really believe Gary Kubiak seriously will be retired from football? Or will there be some sort of Kubiak comeback sometime in the future?
Yeah, I think Gary's done coaching. He's tried to quit multiple times now. There's something that he knows just isn't right about where he is with coaching, right? So I do think he wants to be done coaching, but I think he will resurface maybe in a similar role to what he had with Denver Broncos a couple of years, you know, where he can kind of, you know, live in Houston, be down there on the ranch, do some scouting, do some consulting, maybe have a little bit of a John Elway type of role. Some way, somehow, football will call him back, I think. But I do believe him that he's done coaching.
You know, I can't help but think he will have a role like Mike Shanahan, meaning
his son
will have an opportunity sooner than later.
Okay.
He sees that and realizes, as he's seen what Mike does, that Mike is a virtual consultant. I think he's got
Absolutely.
A key card for the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what Gary thinks, and I bet you anything, if he does get back into football, it's at college. I know how much A&M meant to him. I know he's got a place already down in Texas.
I don't see that.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know what the role would be for college, though.
Well, maybe kind of like a athletic director, assistant athletic director sort of guy.
Maybe. I don't see it. Gary Kubiak, though, bottom line, what a career. If this truly is it, wow. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of most important figures for the Denver Broncos.
I'll agree with you on this. I bet you he is done with hands-on, game in, game out sort of stuff. I bet you're right about that. It does set up a fascinating scenario, though, in a couple of years. If John Elway gets in a ownership group down the line, what would Gary Kubiak come back as? Perhaps if Elway's an owner?
Oh, there you go.
I don't think the story's completely over. Ring it, Kevin.
Detroit Lions new head coach Dan Campbell had quite the introductory press conference today. Now,
We've
got the normal version. We got
the Game of Thrones,
and then we got Slayer.
And then we have Titanic version.
Right. I'd like to hear Slayer.
Slayer. Hi, Kevin. Can you bring it down, please?
How much you bench?
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language. All right, here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right, and this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. It's found a way to overcome adversity, all right? And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
Oh, man, I love it. I absolutely love it. However, in 2 years' time, maybe 3 years' time, will Dan Campbell get roasted more for that speech than we roast Vic Fangio for Death by Inches?
more. This speech is going to go up there with Taco Eyes and Adam Gase. It's just too much. I don't know if it'll top Taco Eyes with Adam Gase, but Dan Campbell will look back on this and realize, okay, I was a little too excited. But as we've talked about, we do not think they drug test for head coaches. And the guy's joked, if you don't know, he's like 6'7", 290, solid built. I mean,
how much you bench?
It's ridiculous.
Well,
and then I read, by the way, real quick, that went on for 19 minutes
straight,
without a question. 19 minutes.
Without a question?
It was a 19-minute opening monologue.
Wow, unreal. Unreal. Well, I'm not even being facetious. I absolutely loved it. I seriously did. As a football guy, I liked it. I liked it.
It's way over the top.
Can't you just picture in 2 years' time when the Lions are down 35-3 against the Minnesota Vikings? They're saying, oh, wow, way to bite their kneecap off on that one.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Guys really look tough out there today.
Right. It's insane. That's great if you're the strength and conditioning coach, but head coach? The one thing we have learned about head coaches, there has got to be, you know, a CEO type of vibe to them. You think Gary Kubiak would ever sound like that on his opening press conference? It's insane. No, this is doomed for failure. I read more about, he wrote a lengthy philosophical approach to things that was probably all sorts of cliches and crap like that. Joe Judge had the same sort of thing, and we rolled our eyes at Joe Judge.
We made fun of him, but Joe Judge seems to have it going on out there.
There's a difference between a bumper sticker mentality and that. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen, which is good news for the Broncos because they probably are getting ready to move on to Matt Stafford, and I think it's going to create an option that probably shouldn't exist. My take on it.
Yeah, I don't know if Dan Campbell can coach. I don't really know what he brings to the table, but that sounds like a guy I can play for. You roll your eyes at it, D-Mac.
I'm about to
do the cardinal sin, but
I played the game, I know.
I mean, goodness gracious, do you sound like a guy that's never been in a locker room. If you don't like that, I mean, authentic. That's real. That's not fake. Right. That's not rah-rah.
From your head coach, not your position coach. From your head coach?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You played the game. So which head coach of yours was like that?
I didn't have one.
All right. There you go. You won a Super Bowl, right? Just checking. Ring it. Oh, and you had Mike Shanahan.
I never said he was going to be a good coach.
Oh, wait. Tyler.
I didn't say he was going to be
Tyler
a good coach.
Had Gary
I just
Kubiak.
Said he sounds like a guy I can play for.
All right. But you had Gary Kubiak, Pete Carroll, and Mike Shanahan.
Well, Pete Carroll was the opposite of that. Pete Carroll was the ultimate rah-rah guy. He literally made you do a mosh pit before the game began. It was like fake rah-rah. It drove the team nuts to the point that when Ben Hamilton and I played for the Seahawks, before the game, we would go hide in the tunnel when the whole team was doing a mosh pit because we didn't want to be a part of the fake rah-rah. That's fake rah-rah. This is real.
Okay. You played the game, I did it.
Right. Don't you forget it.
I don't know what I'm... You know, here's where I'm from on this stuff. I get you. I'm a baseball guy.
I'm not saying he's going to be a good coach,
no.
So just relax.
I'm going to give you plenty of credit here. Because oftentimes, I do look at football from a baseball perspective.
Right.
And I know how moronic that would be in the baseball world. I mean, I just think of that as the stupidest thing I'd ever hear in the baseball world. But I don't know, maybe you do gotta eat a guy's kneecap every once in a while. Maybe, I've always heard though from football guys like you, as soon as you get through the first series, that all washes away, and then it's really just the better team, and who strategically has the team prepared the best wins. What do I know?
But there's a foundation of toughness that you can build.
I've been watching football practices where everybody stretches, and then 15 minutes in the practice, everybody stands around and watches special teams.
Ring it.
And I'm wondering what the hell that stretching was all about.
Ring it again.
Eagles picked up Nick Sirianni as the head coach. What do you think of that move?
Who that?
All right, ring it.
Seriously.
They hired and, you know.
All right, well, offensive coordinator rehab has done it again. Alabama has hired Bill O'Brien to be their next offensive coordinator.
What part of Alabama?
Well, the part that is not in the panhandle that touches...
Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. I don't really know, actually. Where's Alabama? Where?
Exactly.
Where's Tuscaloosa?
What's your question?
Do you think that Bill O'Brien will be a college head coach in a year's time?
That is the place that you go from to someplace else.
Right.
I mean, Lane Kiffin and Dable and
Sarkisian.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien in a year? Is that the question? In 1 year?
Yeah.
I know they've got a 5-star recruit, a quarterback there. We saw him play a little bit after Mac Jones. I don't know why Alabama's not going to win the national championship next year. I'll say yeah. And you know what? Nick Saban, kind of like John Calipari. You know, John Calipari encourages his players to go to the pros after 1 year. I think Nick Saban actually does, too. I think they've got a system down where that is exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And helps them in their recruiting. And he doesn't care if he has a new guy like that year after year after year. Only, so I'll say yes.
I agree, but it actually surprises me just a little bit. That's a good point, Kevin. Doug Marone's a coach there. He's coaching offensive line, right?
There you go.
Unbelievable. It surprises me just a little bit that Saban is flipping offensive play calling duties the way that he is in scheme. It's very different than Sarkisian. It is. That's West Coast. This is Patriot Way. That's hard, man. That's hard to flip that for college kids.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're still going to be great.
You don't think the same just good? Here's the plays.
Yeah.
Do this.
I'm sure they'll be great.
Right. And then you'll be making like $6 million next year. Ring it, Kevin. Why was I seeing Marshawn Lynch in an Avs jersey skating on ice? What exactly was going on?
You know, that's a great question. As soon as I saw it, I reached out to Marshawn and I was like, hey, man, are you in Denver? As I was going to actually try to see if he would come in studio and hang out with us today.
That would be fun.
But turns out he's in Canada. So I have no idea. I don't know how he got hooked up with the Avalanche.
Why is he in Canada?
Like anything that Marshawn does, it was funny just watching him out there on skates. He actually looked more comfortable than I thought he would.
When was that? Because the Avs are actually in Los Angeles. They play the Kings tonight.
I don't know.
Very confusing.
Right.
Was he at an Avs practice?
I think so.
He was wearing Avs gear.
Right. I don't have the answer. All I know is it was in Canada. That's all I got.
You know,
I'm in Canada, bro.
A guy that I would not imagine could skate at all. He looks all right.
Right? Right?
Who would look better on skates, you or Marshawn Lynch?
Probably him.
Really? You're that bad on skates?
I haven't been on skates in a long time, D-Mac.
All right, ring it.
How about this? Washington football team has become the first NFL franchise to receive a sports betting license.
Wow.
Very interesting. Wow. So they received a sports betting permit in Virginia through the franchise's partnership with FanDuel, launched a mobile sportsbook in the Commonwealth.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. We've seen teams jumping all over the gambling train. Are we going to see each team have a license?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, there's some things in life that...
NFL. But players can't go get a paid appearance at a casino. Do you know that? Players are not allowed to have a paid appearance at a casino.
That's likely to change, too. I mean, there's some things that are just inevitable. You can be against them or not like them. I don't know. But some things will just happen. And this is one of them. I mean, listen... But we are not that far away to where we thought, oh, you can't have a sports team in Las Vegas. What's the difference? Who cares? I mean, we're all sitting here with our phones that you can gamble anytime you want on anything you want. Yeah, of course it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's happening.
Just, hey, man, just got to take everything in moderation. That's all. It'd be all right. But will people get themselves in trouble? Yeah, but it's just too much, Tyler. There's just way too much money out there. Bring it. And wrap it up. I got something else for you. I read an article years ago about what sports will look like in 50 years. Now, this was a couple of years ago, way before COVID and all the other issues we were going to. But one of the speculations in this article was that in sports, things will get smaller, not bigger. like, stadiums won't be 80,000 seat stadiums. They'll be 40,000 seat stadiums with concourses where you can just sort of mill about and look at things. Now, I'm not saying COVID is a good thing. It's not. It's a terrible thing. It's awful. But you will see things happen in the world of sports that get things smaller and more intimate. And I got to tell you, there are some things, because we're in this COVID world, that are smaller and more intimate, that are cooler, that are better than the way sports used to be. And our viewing of sports will be one of them. Like, seriously, after this year, who seriously would want to sit in the last row of an 80,000 seat stadium?
Well, I think it's been heading in that direction before COVID. The TV viewership experience is just so tremendous. And now we've got these 4K cameras. They've got that.
Crazy, right?
They've got that. Isn't it a 5K camera that they have in the end zone? It's unbelievable, the experience that you have. So I think it was headed in that direction before COVID. I hope it doesn't go that far, though. I hope it doesn't go to the point where you're going to 40,000 seat stadiums. I mean, as a player, I would hate that.
I don't know. 40,000 seats. Yeah. They're right on top of you.
Dude.
And then there's a concourse that you can walk around on. Think of the Coors Party deck around a football field. The whole thing.
Cool. I mean,
loud. That's still going to be loud.
It's not going to be Mile High loud. It's not going to be Seattle loud. It's not going to be like that.
Weren't you a little surprised how loud it actually was at that Chiefs game when they had 16,000 fans there?
Well, I don't know. Was that piped in? Was there noise coming in?
That was 16,000 people. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, they're a great fan base that is, you know, they always get the record. They go back and forth with Denver and Seattle, and they're always right there at the loudest stadium. So
I'm watching.
They're well trained.
When I can watch whatever games are going on. By the way, quick question. The Avs are playing the Kings tonight at 8 o'clock our time. It's on ESPN Plus. Can I see that? If I have ESPN Plus, which I do have ESPN Plus. Because I know it was restricted on NBC because Comcast owns NBC. But on ESPN Plus, for a road game, not a home game, am I still restricted on that, or can I watch my Avalanche tonight?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think you should try to offend one of your friends again real quick.
I'm not going to. I got to be careful. Hey, Sandy was going off on, I have not heard this, but I was told Sandy was ripping on first-round draft picks.
Mm.
Like, you know, Sandy wants a piece.
Yeah.
Right. Over the last 10 years in the NFL draft, 32 quarterbacks have been drafted, in the first round. I asked DeHuff this question, and of course, DeHuff being who he is, he blew it completely.
That's true.
Out of those 32 quarterbacks, give me a number. How many of those 32 do you think have appeared in Super Bowls? Not necessarily won, but appeared in Super Bowls. Out of those 32 first-round quarterbacks drafted over the last 10 years.
Maybe six, seven?
Only three, Orlando, have appeared in Super Bowls. Newton, Goff, and Patrick Mahomes won last year.
Yeah.
That's it. Three out of 32. The busts are about twice the number as the success stories out of those 32.
Oh, my God, Sandy. How did you get wrapped up?
The show from the bathroom?
I don't. That's another. Who knows?
I don't understand.
But how would Sandy get wrapped up in the Mike Evans vortex? First of all, Sandy, golly, I cannot believe Sandy got into this.
Bow chicka bow wow.
The last 10 years, how many of those Super Bowls has Tom Brady been in? All right? How many? You're talking about the greatest quarter. Can you look it up, Richie? In the past 10 years, that's the AFC. That's the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
He's a six-round quarterback. Nobody is advocating to take a quarterback in the sixth round. That's the AFC. How many was Tom Brady in? And then you got to. Sandy, my goodness, I'm so disappointed. Only 4% of quarterbacks ever drafted in any round have ever made it to the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady's one of them that totally crushes that stat even more. It is a ridiculous metric to measure in terms of if it's a bust or not. It's Sandy, what are you doing? It's a great thing for legacy, for an individual and a team, but it's got nothing to do with if you should take a quarterback in the first round. Nothing.
I would agree with you. I mean, this is where I say you're more right than you're wrong. If you've got the opportunity to go get a quarterback, of course you have a better opportunity if you select high. Of course you have a better opportunity to be successful. I get it. But you know what, D-Mac, this is where I also say they do have a point. It is still a crapshoot. I know you refuse to acknowledge that. Even though you have a better chance, you're right, it's less of a crapshoot. There's busts all the time.
Never said
there
wasn't.
So you do have to be careful. You can't just fire. You can't just select any quarterback. You have to be careful. It's easy to mess it up.
So Tom Brady in the past 10 years has been in half of the Super Bowls. So Sandy, by your logic, which is, I hate ripping on Sandy, but by your logic, the best chance to have a Super Bowl winning quarterback in the past decade is to draft him in the sixth round. Sandy. I am disappointed by my man, Mr. Clough,
wow,
on that one.
Disappointed in you.
Sherman, come on.
He's not even mad at you, Sandy. He's disappointed.
Well, because it's a ridiculous metric to measure things on, and you say it as if it means something. It means nothing. By your evaluation of the past decade of quarterbacks, because there can only be 20 quarterbacks that make it in possibly in 10 years, then you're saying 25% of your quarterbacks make it in if you take them in the sixth round in the past decade. That's ridiculous. How'd I do on math there? I think I got
That's
it.
That's just sick.
Right. Bandy. Okay. My Lord. Was there a round besides the first round and the sixth round that got more quarterbacks in the Super Bowl in the past 10 years?
See, this is where I think you do yourself a little bit of a disservice, because it's just the way that you present the argument.
I know.
It's so aggressive that it makes it appear. Well, no. It makes it appear that you think no matter what, have the opportunity to select a quarterback, you do it. And that's just not the case. And I think you don't actually imply that.
Right. You know what it has all been about today, then? You know what it has all been about? How much you think?
That gamble has got me twisted.
This place has been kicked. It's been
battered.
What's
a kneecap taste like?
I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you,
can I put
Locale
salad dressing on a kneecap?
Sure. You guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that.
How much you bench? By the way, my favorite just low profile thing of the past Dan Campbell hiring is Mark Schlereth wanting to have a bench press competition with Dan Campbell.
D-Mac isn't even smart enough to understand Sandy's point.
Explain it to me.
Oh, I mean, you got to ask the texter that.
Let's just rip on Mike Evans again. That's more fun than ripping on Sandy. We'll do that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Mike Evans is an idiot.
What was your breaking point with Mike?
You know what? I mean, gosh, I'm sitting there following the whole thing, and when I just see him just dogging Watson like he is a nobody, like putting out stats, talking about the wins, talking about the fact that, how many wins did they have last year? I can't even remember because I don't care. I mean, I don't care how many wins Deshaun Watson had last year. Look at the stats. Look at the age.
Right.
This guy is a top five quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And then the more we just talked, the worse it got for him. It just got worse and worse. I asked him to name his top 10 quarterbacks.
Right.
He ends up naming, he puts Big Ben and he puts Breeze.
Right.
And I'm talking current top 10 quarterbacks
right,
in the
right,
NFL.
Right.
Not like how their impact over their career, where
right.
we are today.
Right.
He's got Watson as the 10th best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
This guy.
And then he'll be like, there's so many things, but he'll be like, well, Peyton Manning. He loves Peyton Manning.
Sure.
I was like, well, Mike, was Peyton Manning as a rookie? Was Peyton Manning in his third year?
You know, I heard Zach talking about it. I forget what the exact stats were, but Peyton Manning's first couple seasons looked almost identical to Deshaun Watson's.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... Oh, my gosh. It's just so ridiculous. Mike wants some sort of crazy guarantee on everything. It's like... It seriously is like a dude who's just too scared to really do anything.
Well, you know what? I mean, Andy Dalton's going to be the answer. So, you know, bring Andy Dalton in town and all our problems will be solved.
Well, like, of course this kills me because I think of Andy Dalton the exact same way I thought of Case Keenum. Like, get Case Keenum, get Andy Dalton, and now take your guy. But the problem, of course, is you're sitting at 9 this year, not 5. The top 3 quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time the 5th pick even rolls around, most
sure.
likely.
Sure.
And now what? And this year isn't 2018.
Yeah.
It just isn't. There are way more questions with quarterbacks 4, 5, and 6 than there were in 2018. Lamar Jackson was the 5th quarterback taken in 2018. That's how deep the class was.
Oh, listen, there's no doubt that that was a very unique class.
Yes.
And, you know, I think he's got a little bit of credit on you when you say you take all 5 of them. I would agree with him. You know, you gotta.
That year I would have.
You gotta dial it down a little bit here. You gotta pick somebody.
Not that year.
Regardless, you know what? I'm so annoyed by Mike Evans that I might not ever poke a hole in your theory ever again. I might let every last one of your holes just, they don't exist, you know?
Well, let me just say one thing. It's not my theory. It's a theory that's being used by other teams. It's why I came up with the Glennon Trubisky doctrine. It's not the Darren McKee doctrine or the DMAC doctrine, although it's got some great alliteration. It was based on the fact, even if you're at 3, if you identify your quarterback, you should move aggressively up. They went from 3 to 2. Now, of course, my doctrine would sound a lot better if it was the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes doctrine,
right.
which used the same exact strategy. In fact, the Chiefs were a good team with Alex Smith when they moved up to get Patrick Mahomes. So you could really say how crazy they were. The Bills did the same thing to move up specifically for Josh Allen. They loved him. So, okay, you can't like all 5 guys. The question is, first of all, I think you can, because I always go back to 1983. Do you think if the Buffalo Bills ended up with John Elway, they would be ticked off they didn't have Jim Kelly?
No, of course not.
No, there can be more than one. However,
I mean, it's unusual.
It's unusual.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
My favorite thing that he did today was when he asked me, he said, Tyler, name a guy that you were so confident in since Andrew Luck. You know, that's my standard. I'm going to draft a guy like Andrew Luck. If it's not Andrew Luck, I'm not going after anyone. Okay, so you're literally not going to draft anyone.
He
says, what's my standard for a quarterback?
Right.
Well, it's not the greatest of all time. That's not my standard for drafting a quarterback. No. You know what my standard is? Seriously, should he be a top 10 quarterback or can he be a top 10 quarterback? And if he is, well, it was not a bad pick. And you hope that he develops into a top 5 quarterback.
Right.
If he develops into a top 5 quarterback, you got one of the unicorns. If he is a top 10 guy, well, you've got a highly competitive football team.
Right. And if you really wanted to say, well, since Andrew Luck, I would point out, okay, well, Andrew Luck was going to be a top pick, but he went back for his senior year.
Yeah.
Okay, so we already knew a lot about Andrew Luck, and he still went back for his senior year, so it was even less risky.
Well,
you know, when he came out, I'll just give you a guy, Justin Herbert. Same exact thing. He was going to be a top 10 pick as a quarterback after his junior year. He decided to go back, and nothing really changed. So, okay, Mike, Justin Herbert, There you go. But you didn't hear Mike Evans screaming about how you should pick up Justin Herbert. And you didn't even hear Mike Evans talk about how good Joe Burrow should be.
It drives me insane that he's hung up on the capital that it's going to take to go get Deshaun Watson. I'm like,
right.
Think about this for a second. Okay, I know three first-rounders sounds like a lot. It does, okay?
Yeah,
that's a lot of capital. Would you trade Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, and Bradley Chubb for Deshaun Watson?
The answer is absolutely yes.
Of course.
Let me back up just a little bit because that's a great example. However,
those are our real life three first rounders.
You're going to win right away with Deshaun Watson. You're probably going to get to the playoffs. I don't know how you're going to do, but let's just go there.
Well,
so you're really not giving up like Bradley Chubb. You're giving up, because right now the Broncos are at 9. So you're giving up Jerry Jeudy, Sylvester Williams, Bradley Roby, and Shane Ray, because that's where your first-round picks are going to be.
You know, I do think he has a reasonable point in saying you can't expect Deshaun Watson to come here and turn you into a Super Bowl team. Okay, fine. I would actually agree with that. I don't think if Deshaun Watson comes here next year, we're all of a sudden competing for a Super Bowl.
No,
however, I know this. You're going to have a decade where you're in the running for it.
That's right. You know? That's all I've been saying. That is literally all I've been saying for 3 years. You've got to give yourself a chance.
You've got the guy that you can build around. I mean,
correct.
It's not hard. It's really not hard, Mike.
And Mike loves to bring up the Super Bowl stuff, which is, again, the worst argument ever. Because only 4% of quarterbacks ever drafted in any round in the history of the NFL have actually won a Super Bowl. And Tom Brady in the sixth round, 199th pick, has six of them. Can you name me? Name me another really successful six-round quarterback.
Right.
Because I can name you a ton of really successful first-round quarterbacks.
Right, right. You know, your guys' whole conversation, it drives me nuts because we're stuck in the past, right? But now all of a sudden it's current.
Now
we're talking about Deshaun Watson. Now we're talking about real-life current options, things that actually affect the Denver Broncos. So I got caught up in it today. Matter of fact, after about the 15th tweet, I actually texted Mike and I said, I've never understood D-Mac so much before today.
Well, I'll take that.
I feel like you and I had a bonding moment today.
Felt so too. You know, it was fun just to sort of be on the sidelines, you know, because I was actually working out a little bit and I saw what was going on. And
right.
Oh, boy, was I dying to chime in. And when I got done, I did. And actually, I felt like we won because Mike actually admitted defeat. Like, I don't know how you do this. I'm out. And then he like put out three or four more tweets. Listen, and then Mike has been defending himself all day on the radio station. And okay, Mike, enough with Mike. Nobody's listening to Mike anyways on this. Who has to pay attention is George Payton. And this is where it gets trickier, because who is Drew Locke? That's the tricky question. And do we think...
It's not that tricky.
Do we think the ceiling for Drew Locke is as high as, say, the ceiling for Mac Jones?
I already told you what my standard is for a quarterback. He needs to be top 10 with the ability, maybe, we hope, we pray that he turns into top 5, right?
Right.
Drew Locke's never going to be a top 10 quarterback.
Is Mac Jones?
I doubt it.
Okay, is Trey Lance?
I really doubt it.
Is Kyle Trask?
I doubt it.
All right, then you stick with Drew Locke.
Zach Wilson, maybe. Justin Fields, maybe.
Listen, and I think George Payton
if I'm sitting there evaluating the draft and I need a quarterback, right? And and either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson are available.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that they're going to be top 10 quarterbacks,
right?
But I view them as the type of guys that could become top 10 quarterbacks.
Go.
So I would gamble on it.
And I think George Payton
Mike needs it to be Trevor Lawrence.
I know. It's so ridiculous. You're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, dude. The Colts only got Peyton Manning because they were terrible and they had the first pick, as they did with Andrew Luck. They really got lucky that they sucked in the right years.
Yep.
And you just can't control when you stink, and you really have to stink. So no wonder quarterbacks have a tougher time winning that get drafted there. And for those that do turn things around, like, you know, especially like Baker Mayfield, for example, because the Browns, not only do they stink when they got Baker Mayfield, they have a long history of stinking. At least the Bills were kind of going in the right direction. You know, they had some other elements that were okay. What Mayfield has done with the Browns is actually the most remarkable story of everything.
Well,
the Chiefs were set up beautifully when they got Patrick Mahomes because they were thinking ahead. They already had Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mike's, you know, Mike. Well, good. I feel more bonded. That's good. Yeah. All right. Troy Rank will join us next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, earlier today we talked to our guy, Troy Rank from Denver 7, one of our great Broncos insiders.
Brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
And yeah, the big question, what the Broncos do at quarterback, is ever present. Troy, we got it figured out. It's not about Deshaun Watson. It's about Matt Stafford. What do you think? Do you think that's something the Broncos will be looking at?
I think they're going to be in on everything based on George Payton's history at that position. They've looked at the, you know, stars like Brett Favre, high-priced guys, Kirk Cousins. I mean, I think they'll be in on everything. There's just a point where you have to say what is realistic. Stafford's talent is legitimate. You know, his age 32. My only issue with Stafford would be this, and it goes back to when I covered the Rockies. When you bring in players from losing teams and ask for them to be the final piece for you to win or for the piece to win, that's difficult. I saw it with guys, certainly not of his ability, but Jeremy Guthrie, Ty Wigginton's of the world. When you ask Matthew Stafford, who, by knowledge, I don't think he's ever won a playoff game. I think he's 0-3 in the playoffs. That's just a tough ask to ask a guy who's never been a leader of a winning team and culture to say, now you're the guy to make us a winning team and culture. But he would obviously improve them from a talent perspective.
Well, what was Jake Plummer when we got him?
I think they had been to the playoffs with the Cardinals, and he was way younger, if I remember, than Matthew Stafford is now. I might be off on that, but I think he was younger. And Jake's personality was such that he's just a dynamic personality. I mean, that's not really Stafford. But again, I'm not against Stafford. I would understand it. I would prefer Deshaun Watson. I don't think that's realistic. As much as I would love to see a quarterback in his prime of that ilk in Denver, I don't think that's realistic because of the trade package it's going to require, the acquisition price. Unless they can move up into the top five of the draft, I don't know that they could put a package together that would be better than two or three other teams.
Well, I don't know that it's about the trade package for Deshaun Watson. I mean, shoot, give them whatever they want. Seriously. I mean, you want three first-rounders? You want Jerry Jeudy? Okay. You want four first-rounders? I'll probably do that as well. It's with Deshaun, don't you think it's just more about whether he would want to come here?
I think he would be fine coming here. Miami, clearly he would. You know, he's followed a bunch of Broncos on social media over the last couple of weeks. I don't think he'd have an issue coming here because of the success the franchise has had over its history, certainly not recently. The problem with giving draft picks, like to come up with a package, and again, he has a no-trade clause, so he can make this really difficult for Houston and say, I want to go to one of these three teams, is if you say four first-rounders, if he's any good, after this year, those are going to be in pick, what, 18, 22, 24? Those aren't great picks. Like, it would almost have to involve one young player going back, whether that's Jeudy, a young guy.
What player would you not give up for Deshaun Watson?
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I would do it. I would, because there's very few guys I would be all chips to the center of the table. This would be the equivalent of even actually a younger version of Nolan Arenado. Like, there's certain players you're like, okay, he's in his prime. He's won in college. He's won in big moments. He's won in the NFL. He's a leader on and off the field. And that solves that position for at least probably 5, maybe 10 years. So, yeah, there's no price that I wouldn't consider. But as a new GM, if I trade away, let's say, three first-rounders and one of my best young players, and maybe even a second, and you're a draft and development guy, as the new GM, I'm just thinking out loud, is he going to say, yeah, we got Deshaun Watson, and now we don't have the way to build around him. Now we're going to be compromised. I would say, hey, figure out the cap, you know, sign some guys. Like, listen, I'm playing Monopoly here, but this is where I would think if you have any chance of Deshaun Watson, because the last good quarterback that was traded, and I'm basically on one good season, was Jay Cutler in his prime here when McDaniel shipped him to Chicago. These kind of players never come available.
Right.
So that's why it's probably unrealistic. I'm not trying to say it is. And Matthew Stafford, I would prefer Matt Ryan over Matthew Stafford, but Matt Ryan I don't think is going to be available.
Oh, my God. Why would you prefer Matt Ryan over Matt Stafford?
Because he's been better almost every year of his career. He's been to a Super Bowl, and he's 6-4 in the playoffs and won 4-3 over his last 7. That would be my reason.
He looks like he's just done to me, but, okay.
Yeah, he was done against the Broncos. They were done. Well, he torched them for 300 yards in the first half.
I get it. A lot of teams roll over the Broncos. That's not the bar I'm looking at, but Matt Ryan's not happening.
Well, it's just money. He's got $50 million tied up. I mean, yeah, I don't want to take on that contract.
The Deshaun Watson thing too. Listen, sniff around it, kick the tires on it, whatever. It is so rare, like you point out, Troy, that you'd forget what you've said about being Mr. If you're Peyton, you know, draft and development. This is a rare time. So nobody's gonna, if he just came out and said, listen, I couldn't pass on this because it's so unusual, everybody would say, oh, okay, we get it. But the fact of the matter is you're gonna have a lot of competition for that Deshaun Watson deal. The Matt Stafford deal, I don't know, man. I don't think the competition is gonna be nearly that fierce. And then, by the way, after you get done with those two guys, and if you want to throw Matt Ryan in, okay, I'd say that money-wise, it's not going to happen. So if you just get rid of those, if those two guys are not possible, if Watson and Stafford, and then it's Drew Lock, I think.
Yeah, it would be Drew Lock with a veteran, whether that's, Dalton, Brissett, Minshew. If it's Nick Foles, you talk about a guy that's done. I love Nick Foles, the person. He looks completely washed.
Yeah, well, my guy's Tyrod Taylor. So, but okay, fine. It's one of those type of guys.
Right. That's fair. Ryan Fitzpatrick would fit that mold. I mean, but at the very least, there's going to be competition for Drew Lock. And it may be competition where we all look and wink and roll our eyes like it's not competition. Or it may be someone where, again, Dalton of that next tier, could he beat him out? Perhaps. I mean, he doesn't move the needle, but he did enough this past year where you could say he would have an opportunity to beat him out. These other guys would come in almost exclusively as backups to protect you for ineffectiveness and injury.
Who's getting a better deal? You get Deshaun Watson, or the Texans who get your 5 first-round draft picks?
Yeah, the team that gets Deshaun Watson.
Right. We've been having this stupid argument.
You've done it, D-Man. It's the weighted equation of the quarterback.
Yeah.
This guy is a top 5 no matter what metric you use. He played at an MVP-type level on a bad team this year. He's not going to be MVP, obviously, but he is that good. He's a top 5 quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's who he is.
Yeah.
They never become available, ever. Like, ever. Other Fran Tarkington and, like, Jay Cutler.
Hey, do you want it?
Guys to get traded.
Troy, I'll give you an opportunity to just say Mike Evans is an idiot if you want to. I mean, you can say it if you want to.
I love Mike. Mike's wearing the Kirkland jeans from Costco right now when it comes to the quarterback conversation.
I love it.
I'm with you on that, D-Mac.
Thank you, Troy. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Well, I enjoyed the battle with you and Mike Evans.
Right,
today.
Right. It got me going, man. It got me going a little bit. I felt energized today.
Sometimes I feel bad for Mark because I don't think Mark really cares, but he's just a good dude. And he kind of just goes along. And we should all be grateful for Mike and his ongoing stupidity on this particular topic. Because look how much it gives us to talk about.
So. Right, right. Thank you. I mean, I guess thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you won, by the way.
Oh, 100%. He tapped out after like 10 minutes.
you won.
Yeah.
You won. I do love one stat to leave you on our way out. His guy in 2018, you realize, was Kyle Laletta.
I got you.
Yeah. Kyle Laletta in 2 NFL games was 0-for-5 with an interception.
And now it's Andy Dalton. Now his guy's Andy Dalton. He would rather have Andy Dalton than Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
How about that? Let that one sink in.
Yeah, Mike Evans wouldn't give up Bradley Roby, Sylvester Williams, Noah Fant, and Jerry Jeudy for Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants Andy Dalton.
Right, right.
And on that note, we turn things over to Nick and Cecil right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.